We're starting a new series this week, and we are so excited about it. Actually, this first part of this year, we're going to actually be going through our core values and kind of bringing out what that means for us now in this new chapter. We've preached through our core values before, and that was a different chapter that we were in, though, right? And so as our chapters change, as our journey changes as a church, then we want to make sure that our core values are kind of along with us, and we're aligning with those core values in this new season that we're in. So if we're having these five new works in 5 years in five different zip codes, we want to make sure that multiplication is the first thing we talk about, right? That's what this is all about. Last Sunday was all about this multiplication vision that God has given us. And so this series is going to be called Multiply. And I'll tell you what, we are really excited about this. We just came from a church planting cohort, it's called. It's kind of a learning community for church planters. And we get to have the opportunity to sit with some of the foremost minds in church planting today. And so we just came from Tampa, and we just were blown away. We were both wrecked there, mm-hmm. just at like... The urgency behind why we do what we do as a church, right? We'll be sharing a little bit about that today, but also just some new strategies, some new ways to make sure that we're flowing with this culture that we're in, to make sure that we bring Jesus in a relevant and a real and a responsible way in this time.
Yeah, and you'll learn really quickly that the main thing is the main thing at Village Church. We believe that following Jesus means that you are making disciples. Disciples make disciples. And so we're going to be learning as a church, how do we do that? How do we personally own that vision to the point where we multiply disciples, leaders, and churches? That's what we have over here. And we're launching our first church in Gladden Farms in the next couple months and things like that. And so I want to remind you up here. So we're breaking up this five-year vision into 90-day initiatives. Okay, because it's one thing to say, we're going to do this, yay, right? But if you don't know how you're going to get to it, then it'll just be fluff, right, in the air. And so we're breaking this up into 90-day initiatives. And the first 90-day initiative is that we are sharing our story 90 times in 90 days as a church. All right, that means that we are committing as a body to share Jesus 90 times, to have intentional conversation about Jesus with somebody else that doesn't know him yet 90 times, all right? Anyone, are you with me? I know some of you did it already this year, or this week, okay? And so up here, we have this vase, and we have these little wood slats because I was going to do rocks, but I thought that would shatter this vase. And after we are done preaching, we want you every week to come up and write the name of somebody on one of these things with a Sharpie. We want to know their name. We want you to put it in here until we get to 90, all right? I think we can do more than 90. What do you think?
Yes.
We can share Jesus' intentional conversation with him. And so I want you to be thinking about that. And if you're like, uh-oh, I didn't share my story this week. In fact, I was feeling kind of convicted because we were gone. I was with a bunch of Christians. They already know about Jesus. And I was thinking this morning, all right, I better figure out what names this week that I'm going to share because Lord help me if the pastor doesn't write a name down, right? That's not okay. And so anyway, we want to start our time off by reminding you about that so you're already thinking, who is it that God has put in my path this week to share him with? And so we're going to go ahead and get started here with our week one. So if you would just open up to Matthew chapter 4. Some of you have an electronic Bible, you can click open to that. If you need a paper Bible, if you physically do not own one, we want to purchase one for you. We want to make sure you have one. You can write that on your connection card. If you don't want to get your phone out, you're too lazy for that, and you didn't bring your Bible, it'll also be up here on the screen for you. Matthew 4, starting in 18.
Yep. All right. Let's read. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat, and their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This passage is interesting because it's the same story is given in John and Luke, and a little, there's different details in that story. And so we're going to be bringing that out a little bit as well as we read today, but we really want to focus on a main point of this encounter with Jesus, that this first encounter of Jesus saying, come, follow me, and that there's this truth that multiplication begins with a clear invitation. Multiplication begins with a clear invitation. And we see that, right? It's very, there, you can't get any more clear than that. Come, mm-hmm. follow me. Done. Done. And what's so great about that is it kind of clarifies what discipleship really looks like for us. I think as a church, you could pull 100 different churches and their discipleship strategy would be 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. And they would look totally different, right? But at its absolute core, we see that it's about going and following Jesus, right? We go where he goes. And it's not for us. It's not to stick our head down and do the work that we've already been doing. He wants to shift us from what's in front of us to what's around us. Mm-hmm. And that's when he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're not going to keep fishing what you're doing, getting those fish and feeding people like that, right? I'm going to make you fishers of men. It's about following Jesus for a purpose for other people. That is the core of what discipleship really is. And so that's where we're starting here. Multiplication begins with a clear invitation into that. And so the question that we want to ask today is, if that's the truth, then how should we respond to Jesus' clear invitation?
All right, and I want you to just open yourself up to this, because sometimes you might think, oh, I've already accepted Jesus. I already said yes to relationship with him, but there's something more for us in this passage today, even those that have said yes. So the first thing we see is that if we're going to respond to Jesus' clear invitation, we have to admit that we're yearning for more. You have to admit right here and right now that you're yearning for more. Because when we read this passage, you know, if we read it apart from understanding the culture, it can look like some random guy walked along the beach and said, come follow me, and they just dropped their nets and they went. And it was like this crazy, radical, like, oh my gosh, they left everything. You know, Zebedee was sitting right there, their dad, and they just left him. They left everything. But if you look deeper into the culture, you can we can understand that it wasn't kind of random. It wasn't a random thing. In fact, culturally, to be a disciple of a rabbi was a normal thing. That was something like, I want to do that someday. That was a kind of a noble thing. And so rabbis would kind of have these followers. And so they already knew Jesus, in fact. They already knew about him. And there's evidence that they were already in relationship with John the Baptist, who had come to prepare the way for Jesus. These were spiritual men. They, Andrew specifically is like following John around, and when in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist says, look, there goes Jesus, the Lamb, here he comes, and they're like, oh, it's him, you know. So they kind of had this idea already of who he was, and so they maybe even were already following him, but they were still working as fishermen during the day. But this is a different kind of invitation. And you know that because it's a different kind of response that they had. It wasn't, we're going to follow you, you know, on Fridays and Saturdays, and the rest of the time we have to be fishermen. This was, let it all go and come and follow me. And we're going to talk about their response. But we can see in the way that they responded, that they were like, I want more. I want more than the normal status quo. And this Jesus, he's not the status quo rabbi. And there's something about him. And I feel a yearning inside of me for a greater purpose. And so when he walks by and I know him, I'm already kind of following him. And John the Baptist is this like wild guy out in the desert that is sort of famous. And we already know what's happening. That when this special thing happens, when he walks by and he says, come follow me, that yearning kind of meets that moment. And I said, yes. So we have to admit that just like them, we yearn for more. We yearn. That's right. We know I'm made for more than the 9 to 5. Anyone else? Yes. Right? Like there's, and I hear people as a pastor sometimes say, like, I don't know what I'm made for, and that bugs me. I feel purposeless. That happens a lot, actually, in the church. I'm not sure, and I'm struggling with that. And that we can know from the get-go that that we yearn. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to admit, first and foremost, we have a yearning going on inside of us for more.
Yeah, the reality is that just in 2018, the self-help industry made over $11 billion. What does that tell you about what we're yearning for? We're yearning for more. We're constantly looking for what's next, for something to sate the brokenness and the emptiness that we feel, that there's something wrong. There's something wrong in me that if I could only get to there, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. If I read this book, maybe this will be the key to unlocking what I'm missing in my life. And we think it's a million different things. That's why the self-help section at any bookstore is by far the largest section, right? Because there's a topic for every single thing in there that we can come up with. But the reality is that they keep publishing books. Right? There's new books on every area of self-help. If they could have fixed it the first time, there wouldn't ever need to be another book written about it, right? But the reality is that there was one book, unchanging, eternal, that was written about that. And we serve a Savior that has everything that we need. That's who we're yearning for. That is the fix, guys. That's what the disciples knew in that moment. They knew right away, okay, here it is. They've been yearning for more. They've been yearning for that thing in them, that piece of purpose that wasn't quite there yet. And here's this rabbi walking by that they'd heard of, that they'd met, and he says these incredible, life-changing words to them, come follow me, and I will make you into something incredible. I will make you into a world changer. I will give you purpose. I will give you every single thing that you are missing in your life. I will fulfill that for you. But come with me. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to do it on your own. This is what Jesus is begging of us, guys. Stop trying to fix it on your own. Stop trying to read the self-help books. I'm not saying that self-improvement is a bad thing, right? I want to make sure, right? We all need a little bit of self-improvement and some stuff to get us going sometimes, right? Like, we need some motivation, right? That's why, like, an accountability partner to the gym is going to make you way more successful or something like that, right? Like, we need some of that in our lives. I'm not saying that, but that often doesn't sate the brokenness in it. I know a lot of people that have lost 100, 150, 200 pounds, and they're still broken. They're still dealing with their brokenness. People have gone to school, gotten degrees. That didn't fix it, right? Go from marriage to marriage to marriage, relationship to relationship to relationship, job to job to job, city to city to city. Because they're yearning for more. But Jesus is right in front of them that whole time, saying, come, follow.
Yeah, you know, it's not easy to admit that you're yearning. In this moment, you might be like, yeah, I made for more. But what happens is that we do one of two things. We either busy ourselves so much, even with Christian things, to kind of push it down. And because when we admit that we're yearning, we're admitting that we don't know all the answers and that we can't fill it. We're admitting that we're not satisfied. And that's hard. It's a hard reality to realize, like, I don't think I'm doing what I was created to do. Right? That can be like a depressing thought if apart from Jesus. And so we have to like get our hearts wrapped around this so that to the point where we can, in trust of Jesus, say, I'm yearning and sorry that I'm busying myself so much. I haven't sat down and thought about what you created me to do. Or specifically me, what have you called me to do in my life? And so we have to be really careful that we don't shy away from the admitting that we're yearning. That teachable spirit is what that is. That's like, Lord, come, have your way in my life. I got a big mess going on. And we're talking, I want you to know, I'm talking for someone that doesn't know Jesus right now. If you don't know Jesus and you're feeling that, oh, he wants a relationship with you. But I'm even talking to those that do know Jesus. Because they knew Jesus. They knew him. And some of them even thought, like, I think he might be the Messiah. This is like the real deal going on. And so even for us that know Jesus, we have to get to the point where we're willing to admit, you know what, even though I walk with him, I haven't really given him my life all the way yet. And I'm still yearning for more. I'm still wondering, what am I created for? So are you yearning? Are you willing to admit that you're yearning? Jesus has a clear invitation coming your way, but if you can't admit it, then you're not going to be ready to say yes to him when it happens. You You know, I heard a pastor one time say, we don't want our God moments to get cobwebs. And I thought that's really good, right? Like, how many of us are riding on Women's Retreat 2014 and how amazing that was? You know, that was so good years ago when I met with Jesus that one time. You know, like, he has something new and fresh, and we should not get used to our amount of him. We shouldn't just be like, I mean, literally last Sunday was probably the most incredible Sunday we've had in our church ever in the 3 years we've been a church. And I'm like, can we just go back there? That was so cool. But we're here. We're here, and he's got something else for us. And so we have to just, it's okay that we're like, okay, we want more. We want more of you. We're still hungry. We are yearning. And so if we're going to accept Jesus' clear invitation, if we're going to see multiplication unleashing through us, not through Village Church, but through the people that make up what church is, we have to first admit that we're yearning for more.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I love the fact that this invitation is not a one-time only deal. Right? It's a constant invitation to more. Jesus is always saying, hey, you did great. He commends us. Great job following me that one time. Now, let's do it again. And I'm going to take you deeper and farther places now, right? That's I just love that truth that he never just abandons us after that and says, okay, you said yes, then great. That's it. That's it for your life, right? It's a constant growing, a constant yearning for more that we need to admit. So after we admit that we're yearning for more, then we should expect an encounter with the real Jesus.
Nice.
With the real Jesus, guys. We should have that expectation in us constantly that if we at least acknowledge, because we push away that yearning. We've gotten really good at doing that, right? We've gotten really good at pushing away the yearning and pushing it down and trying to ignore it and filling that that awkwardness in our lives with whatever we can find, right? But Jesus, right, as soon as we say, you know what, there is something missing in me, then Jesus is right there immediately. He's going to take advantage of that every single time, and we're going to have an encounter with the real Jesus consistently through our lives. It's not a one-time deal, guys. You can encounter the real Jesus every moment of every day in your life if you'll just admit your need, your constant need for him. And that's where we see the disciples' incredible response in this moment, this immediate response out of them, is because they see that this isn't just a great leader. This isn't just a great teacher. This is the Son of God. And we actually, what's amazing is that, you know, the book of John and Matthew and then Luke have like these different depictions of what actually happened here, and they kind of give a more fullness to the story. And Luke brings out this element where Jesus goes out into the boat with them and they catch this huge haul of fish. This miraculous moment, and he's showing them, I'm not just some guy. I'm not just some dude saying like, hey, you want to follow me for a while? I did that. Like, you can't ignore that. And there are a million moments in our lives that we can't ignore. We try, but we cannot ignore that that was Jesus. That was the real Jesus that we just had an encounter with. And that is the key here. Once we recognize not just the yearning, but that we just had a real encounter with Jesus in our lives, that unlocks the next question, right? The next answer to this question of how we should respond to Jesus' clear invitation.
Yeah, because Jesus loves that when we admit yearning, he loves it because then he can come and do something miraculous. And it was the miracles, if you remember in scripture, the miracles that led people to him. It was the healings and the delivering people from demon possession and the water into wine, all this stuff that people were like, what is this, right? And he does that in our lives. You know, when did Hurricane Katrina, maybe 2005, so 2006, we went to New Orleans with a missions team and to help clean up this mess. And it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I've never experienced damage from weather like that. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And, you know, we were there for a week or so, and one day we were told by the person leading our team, you know, we're going to walk around, and what was happening is people were living in FEMA trailers on their devastated property, but the trailer was sitting there. We're going to walk around and give people donuts and water. That's what we're going to do. Like, here you go. Jesus loves you, you know. And I thought, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I'm young. Picture, I grew up in a Lutheran church, which is not necessarily a place where all these miracles are happening every Sunday. And so we, you know, we're walking around and got my donuts and my water and This woman comes up and she's like driving like a bat out of hell, okay? She's like, like e-brake pull. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, whoa, we're just passing out donuts. She's like, are you Christians? I'm like, yeah, actually, we're here. Do you want to pray? We can pray with you. She said, I need you to get in my car. And looking back, I think my mission trip leader would have killed me if he would have seen us, the three of us, like, okay, you know, just like listen to her. And so we get in the car, and she takes us over to her FEMA trailer, and she goes, I need you to heal my son. And I'm like, whoa, like, I don't know anything about what that is. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. And so we go inside, and he's riddled with diabetes, like thin, like just so thin, not Charlie horses on his muscles. He's very sick, couldn't walk. He's just kind of like on the FEMA trailer bed, super sick. And she said, you need to get up. He's like, Mom, I can't. She's like, get up. You know, like makes him stand. She's holding him. She's like, these people are going to pray for you. You're going to get healed. And we're like these little like college students, like, rah! You know, so we lay hands on him. And this woman, this amazing woman, I don't even know her name because I didn't see her after this. She's singing hymns to God. And it's just this like incredible moment. And she's like praying. She's the one, right? We're just like, okay, you know, and we're praying for this kid. And after it was all, it was weird. He started like sweating from the top of his head, like just so disgusting. You know, you're just touching this person. There's sweat dripping on your hands. And you're like, okay, we are up close and personal with this. And at the end of it, we all just kind of went like, okay. Like, it was just like this weird thing. And he's like, okay, I think I'm going to take a shower. And he started to walk back. He turned around, tears in his eyes. He says, I have no pain in my body. And he started jumping. Yes. And he started, you know, with his mom, they're like, I have no pain. It's healed. And, you know, we're like, Are you gonna give us a ride back to where you got us? And we just walked out of her trailer. She said, thank you so much. And we never saw him again. And I'll tell you what, that moment has shaped my life. I'll just never forget my first encounter with the real Jesus. Like, I've encountered him. I'd heard from him. I got saved. I had an emotional moment. But the encounter with the real Jesus in that moment changed my life forever. Absolutely, it changed that. I can sing things like, wherever you lead me, whatever it costs me. That was incredible. And I look back to moments like that to realize who he is and what he's capable of. And I don't know about you, but I want that. Not just in New Orleans when I'm like setting my time aside. I want it tomorrow when I go to the grocery store, and I want it with my neighbor, you know, outside. I want God to move through me in incredible ways. I yearn for that. I want to pray, lay hands on people and see them get healed and be in the room when people are delivered from things. And I want an encounter with the real Jesus. And I hope that challenges you today, that sometimes we live too far in between encounters with him because we haven't given him the opportunity. We haven't said, God, Jesus, we're yearning. We need more. Increase our faith. That sounds weird. I don't know how I'd feel about that if someone asked me to go pray for their sick person. I feel weird about that. So help me. Help me with my unbelief. We have to expect, if we're going to say today, this is like I just felt the Holy Spirit say this morning as we were starting worship, this is a special day. I just said this, that word, this is a special day. And I don't know why, because it's just another Sunday, right? But it's a special day. And if we're going to say today, we're yearning Jesus, and then we're going to say, okay, we want it, then we have to expect that we're going to have an encounter with the real Jesus today.
Yeah. There's this vital point that we have to understand in this, in that Jesus will never, ever withhold himself unless our actions ask him to do otherwise. And we have to acknowledge that the actions in our lives, the thoughts, the priorities that we've set, oftentimes are holding him at arm's length and telling him, you know, I'm not ready. Mm. I'm not ready for an encounter with the real Jesus right now in my life. We have to own that. But I promise you that all it takes is in a repentant moment and saying, you know what, Jesus, I've been holding you at arm's length. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm open. I'm ready to do what you ask me to do. And that typically, that last prayer, mm-hmm. I'm ready to do what you ask me to do, is what hangs us up, right? Because we want to control our little lives. We want to call the shots on what we do and where we go and who we talk to. But Jesus said, come follow me. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they were stepping into. that answer to that call ended their lives. Every one of those men were murdered. But they would, I guarantee, they wouldn't change a thing, right? They would not change a thing because they got to stand around and watch the real Jesus work and then be empowered by that to go and do those same works for other people.
Yeah.
It changed their lives. Guys, what are you today trying to control? Maybe there's something right now that you can recognize that you know that there's a yearning in your heart. You know that maybe you haven't encountered Jesus for a while. And maybe in this moment, you need to recognize that you've been trying to control something. And it's time to surrender. It's time to give that over and say, I'm done trying to control this, Jesus. I want you. I want you more than what I'm trying to hold on to. I want you. Only you. You are all that matters. You are all that's worth anything in this life. I'm tired of trying it on my own. I want to see you. I want to experience you. I want to know you deeper than I ever thought possible. Let that be our prayer this morning, and I promise we will change the world, mm-hmm. guys. We will change the world with that attitude.
Third thing we see is when we get this clear invitation, we should respond with a big, dramatic yes. Big yes. I love the drama in the scripture, the way that it just kind of writes the story about the disciples and their response. Jesus came by and did this miracle, and in the Luke passage, Peter is like, after the miracle, Luke, right? He gets down and he's like, I'm a sinful man. Like, he just, in front of everybody, he's like, this is crazy. Like, this is a miracle and this is nuts, and you are who John was saying you are, and just please just let me be because I'm such a wreck. You know, like, this is this dramatic response, and I love what it says, that they dropped their nets. Wherever they were, they dropped them and they left their dad in the boat, and I wonder if they jumped out of the side of the boat and were like, we're coming! Like, it was this dramatic yes. Because they were yearning, and they saw this encounter, this incredible encounter, and then they were like, okay, whatever it takes. It was just this amazing moment. I love the drama of it, responding to Jesus with a big yes, not a close your eyes, raise your hand, yes, you know, but this is my new life, my new full-time gig is following Jesus around to become a fisher of men. And so we respond with a big, I love it, it says immediately too, like a fast, big, dramatic yes.
Yeah. You know, Ashley and I, we just got back from this, what's called a cohort, right? Just a learning community where we were invited into to learn from different examples of church planting through the nation, just very drastic, different ways people have gone about planting churches and enacted discipleship movements. And this guy named Brian Sanders spoke, and he wrecked us. He absolutely wrecked us. But he shared this story, and now he leads this movement called the Underground Church, the Underground Movement. And so what they've done is they've thus far planted over 200 micro churches in Tampa alone, and they're actually in 16 different cities in 7 different countries that they've started this. And just in Tampa alone, they represent about 3,000 people in those micro church movements that they've seen happening. And so So this is a man with a lot of influence, right? This is somebody who has seen some incredible things happen under his ministry after saying yes to Jesus, right? After going with him. And he shared all these things, and towards the end of his devotion to us, he spoke about his daughter Eve. He said he has 6 kids, and he talked about his daughter Eve, who's 20 years old, I think, and he said that she's the one that's most like him, and he said that she was also the source of some of the deepest pain that he's ever experienced in his life, because his daughter is an addict. And here's this man that's seen these incredible movements unleashed in cities, right, around the world, seeing lives changed radically by God, his own life radically changed by God. And his daughter is in the grips of horrendous addiction. And he said that, and this is a little a little crazy, but just brace yourself for the story. But he said that I think he was out of country, and he got a call from his daughter's roommate, and they would go months and months without hearing from her. And got a call from his daughter's roommate, and she said that she had walked in, like, their apartment, and Eve, his daughter, was laying in a pool of blood. And she took her finger in that blood, and she wrote, "Help me," on the floor. And Brian said, "I cannot save my daughter. But the reason that we do what we do is because the body of Christ can." Amen. That's why they go into the city. That's why they reach the lost. That's why they go where they know they have to go. Because maybe one of the people that Brian leads to Jesus is going to be the one that brings Eve out of that.
Amen.
That's powerful stuff, guys. That's why they do what they do. That's why we have to do what we do. I'm thankful already, right, for the impact that the body of Christ has had on my family. Right? And we've faced nothing like that. But I am so thankful that my daughter can get raised in a community of people that love her as well. Mm-hmm. And that will be there for her every step of the way. Because the reality is that she's not always going to want to listen to me. And those are going to be some moments that'll hurt. I know you as parents of older kids, I know you get that, right? Like, and I'm bracing for it. I know it's coming. But the reality is that, like, I know the body of Christ is there for her, and Jesus will always chase her down. Amen. Jesus will always, always pursue her and push her to a real encounter with him. That's why we do what we do as well. That's what has to be on the forefront of our minds when we say yes to Jesus. We're world changers. We're saving the brokenhearted, the people that we think are unsavable. The people in our own families that we don't understand how to reach. We don't know what to say to them. We don't know how to reach them any further. The reason we go out into this world and bring people out of darkness into light is so that sometimes our own family members can be affected by that. Amen. The ones that we love. But that's got to be enough motivation, guys, right? That's got to be enough motivation. I understand that sometimes strangers are strangers. And they're not on the forefront of our mind all the time, but then at least look in your own life, the people that you love, that you know are desperate and need Jesus, and maybe they aren't responding to you, then go and share the gospel of Jesus for them so that somebody else maybe will come into their context of those we love. Maybe somebody else's story will be able to bring them out of darkness and into the light. That's why we do what we do. That's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. What we do.
Yeah.
We have to do this. It is not a choice. It's not something that we get to just put off. It's not something that we get comfortable in and just celebrate what happened last week, right? We don't get to just do that and then coast for a while. We have to go. That's why we want to see these new works. It's not so that Village Church can have a cool name and be like, hey, look what we've done in 5 years. It's because those new works represent unsaved people, represent lost people that do not know Jesus and are sitting there right now in their heads saying, help me. Is there somebody out there who will help me? Mm-hmm. That's on us.
Amen.
We are the ones who can go and tell them, I'll tell you what. Somebody can help you. The same person that changed my life can change yours too. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about who he is. The reality is, guys, that, you know, Jesus doesn't always ask us to leave our jobs. You know, this is a pretty dramatic thing that we're seeing here in this moment of, like, literally, like, you know, I think of Zebedee, it's like this family business, and all of a sudden his, like, two employees just leave. It's like, okay, I guess I'll do this by myself now, you know, like, but the reality is God doesn't always draw us away from our jobs, but he's asking us to stop looking at the work and looking at the mission field around us while we're working. Look at the people we're working with. Stop focusing on the job itself. Start looking at the people around that need Jesus, that need that story that you have. They're crying out, help me, Help me. Somebody help me. That's why we have to do what we do. You know, we have these discs up here to write a name on, and it's not just to, like, accomplish a goal, right? It's not just to say, well, we did the 90, great, we can throw this away and go on to the next thing, right? Every one of the names on these discs represent an Eve, represent somebody out there who is desperate for the story in their lives. And I know that each of you might have somebody in your head right now as we're speaking. Your Eve, your person that you know, Jesus, will you take control of their life? Will you get in there? Will you show them who they are so their life can be changed? This disc represents that. But you got to share the story. You have to share the story so you can come up, write their name down, and put it in here so we can pray over it and yeah. see the miracles that will happen because of this. Because we're just intentional. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to try and not just assume it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Guys, we're world changers in here. Every single one of you is called to the same power and world-changing capability. It's not just Ashley and I. We cannot accomplish any of this on our own.
Amen.
And we haven't accomplished any of this on our own, guys. Mm-hmm. It's been you. It's been you sitting there inviting people into this environment, seeing lives change yourselves. We got to do more. We have to do more. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have the worship team come forward and... I don't know about you, but my heart is like just really soft and broken for the people in my life that don't know him. And there's some people in my life I've been praying for years, years and years and years, and losing hope, just to be honest, about whether or not they're going to have a fix for their brokenness. And just want to remind us, too, that last week we handed out the Storyteller Pathway. There's copies of that on the way out. If you did not get one, please do. This is how we're making disciples as a church, and we really want you to, like, memorize this, know it, understand it, enter into it, bring other people into it, just this journey with Jesus. But I want us to do something, and we did this in Tribe this week, but I want us to do it. I'm going to have you bow your heads. First thing I want to do is I want to ask if anyone in here doesn't have a relationship with Jesus and you're just realizing, man, I've been yearning and there's no coincidence that I'm here today and I want to give my life to him. I want to give my life to him. I sense that he's walking by right now on the shore of my life, inviting me to follow him, and I want to do it. I want to give my life to him. I just want to give you that opportunity. So if you just raise your hand, we just want to pray for you. We're not going to call you out. But if you just want to say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, would you just take this time, this opportunity to do that? Thank you. Put your hands down. Thank you. And then I want us to think real quick. I want us in our minds now to bring one name. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you bring a face or a name into our minds of someone that doesn't know you, that you've put in our circle? And I trust that he's doing that right now. And I want you to think about what would happen if Jesus got a hold of that person. What children would be impacted? What legacies would be impacted? What generations would be impacted if that person came to know him? I just want you to dream for a second about that person. Just dream. What would happen? What would happen? You know, when Jesus walked by that day, he gave a clear invitation. He didn't say, come with me so we can do some churchy things. He didn't say, come with me so that we can feel better about ourselves or, you know, feel like we're getting our lives together or whatever. He said, come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. We are going after people. And in the process, let me just remind you guys, in the process, those disciples were wrecked. If you read anything else in the gospel, is that all of a sudden they were up front and personal with the living God, which meant they were up front and personal with their character issues and the issues in their own family tree and the issues that have been going around in their own lives. And Jesus fixed them. And he had grace and he met them right there. And so as we go to fish for people, as we go after, he's going to do it. He's going to start bringing this stuff out. And so today I want to ask you, will you admit that you're yearning for more? If you're yearning for more, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. That's God put that in you. If there is any voice that is telling you, no, it's small, or that's just you trying to be special, or whatever, you silence that in Jesus' name, because that is the voice of God speaking into you, that you're yearning for more, created for more. If you're going to say, I want an encounter with the real Jesus, not tomorrow, but today. Jesus, walk by my life, do something crazy, I'm ready for it. Whatever it is, would you just raise your hand? You want an encounter with the real Jesus. Amen. Don't we all? And then today, we're going to go into this song. You know, Cody wrote this song by the Holy Spirit on an airplane. He didn't even have a guitar in front of him. He wrote it on an airplane on the way home about following Jesus. And so, you know, the last point was respond with a big yes. If you're saying, you know what, there's people in my life that don't know Jesus, and I'm going to respond with a big yes. I'm going to fill this vase with 90 just myself in 90 days. Like, if you're feeling like that today, I'm going to invite you to stand up. Don't stand unless you mean it, okay? Stand. Some of you are like, do I mean it? Do I mean it? Respond with a big yes.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm going to pray for us, because some of us have just made incredible declarations today, and Jesus is walking by the shore of our church right now, and he's doing something incredible, and he's got an encounter for you. And so I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, we see you. Lord, we're yearning. Lord, we just get the sense you've made us for something special, and God, we don't know what we've been doing. And so, Father, would you just clarify it in our lives? Would you help us step into it? God, we come before you. We say we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by any new thing. God, we need you. And so move, Father. I pray a real encounter, Father, an unleashing, just like those disciples after you ascended. They were waiting. They were just waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And God, you did something crazy. There were tongues of fire, and you were speaking in languages that they didn't even understand. And God, it was miraculous. And Lord, we yearn for something new and fresh from you. So God, would you just do it today? Would you do it today? And Father, we respond. For those that are standing now, they say, you know what? I don't know what this looks like. I haven't really had the book of training on how to share Jesus or whatever it is, but I'm going to do it. I've got names in my heart. I've got faces in my mind, and I'm going to share him with anyone and everyone that comes my way. Father, I pray that you would anoint them now, God, as one sent for you. And Father, we're excited. We're just sensing, God, that you're moving, and we're just excited. And so, Lord, would you just be glorified as we worship you? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Yep. I'm going to invite you to stand. And what we're going to do is I'm going to have Ashley and Jason over on the side to pray. I'm going to have Jeremy as well. Brian and Kim, I'm going to have you guys as well on the side. And here's what we're going to do. If you're sick in your body today, if you're having sickness in your body, we're going to pray for your healing. And so if you're sick, I want you to go to the side, and one of these people are going to lay hands on you, and they're going to ask the Lord for healing by the Holy Spirit. If you're just sensing, you know what, I got to pray for something. Maybe there's a person, and right now you're just burdened by them. Go tell these people. They will pray with you for the name that you're going to write down here next week. If you're just heavy, I mean, some of us are just heavy, and we're just thinking, I want to hand my life over, but I'm scared to let go of control. Do it today. Go over and say, I need to hand my life over. Will you help me do that? Okay? And so these people are on the side. At any point during worship, you can just go over there. It's okay. And they're great people. They'll just pray for you. You don't have to perform. Just say, I need some prayer, and they'll do it. All right? Can we make that happen? I feel like the Holy Spirit is encountering us in a new way, and so he's going to move in this time.